Morning, Greg. I'm sure that the church had insurance and will be able to make a claim to rebuild, says a listener. I'm not sure how that works. You would imagine so. But still, there are those in the community that would like to do their bit. The old church in Derrybeg was flooded many years ago on the 15th of August. It was built on a river as the Irish were not allowed to build on Irish soil, says a listener. Morning, Greg. Just listening to our wonderful, wonderful Father Breen. We are so sad in Gwydor, but we will rise from the ashes and rebuild our beautiful church. And look at the man we have leading us, Father Breen. We will all stand behind him. We are blessed to have him. And that seems to be coming out in a massive unanimous voice. Hi, Greg. Just letting you know that the eight girls have returned home from Belgium. One girl got third place. Well done. And the others were in the top 20 in their dances overall. They got medals and sashes. They all had a great time. The girls belong to Skull Rinsny Galkor. The dance school is only going something over 2 years, and going to the World Championships was a great achievement for all. A big thank you and a big congratulations to the three teachers who coached them every week. And thanks, by the way, because I did throw it out there for you to let us know how they got on, and they did really, really well and should all be very proud of themselves. I want to say a very happy birthday to a very special lady. Hopefully she's listening today. And that is Mary Herity. It's actually her birthday today. Yeah, it is her birthday today. Happy birthday to you, Mary. And there was a couple of other birthday requests that I seem to have mislaid, but that's on me. I also want to mention a young lad I got chatting to at the weekend. His name's Calvin Lafferty. We went out for something to eat and we were walking into the restaurant. This young lad said to me, I don't know what age he is. He's a big boy anyway, but he said to me, "Are you Greg Hughes?" And I went, "Yeah." And stood there and had a chat with him for ages. And I'll tell you, I don't know if he's going to be a politician or a teacher or a journalist or what have you, but this young lad spoke so well. I was so impressed with him. Like, proper conversation, you know. Such a lovely young lad. And out playing with his mates as well. So he's got the maturity to hold a great convo, but also have a bit of crack with his friends as well. So it was lovely meeting Calvin Lafferty. And hopefully someone lets him know that... we said hello to him if he's not listening himself. And I said happy birthday to Mary Herity, didn't I? I did.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
Okay, it is Tuesday the 22nd of April and it is time for Community Guard information. And joining me this week in studio is Garda Niall Maguire. Niall, thanks very much. Good to have you on.
Good morning, Greg, and happy birthday.
Thank you very much indeed. We'll not mention the off-air dig, but we'll leave it at that. But thanks very much, Niall. I do appreciate it. Right, let's get on to appeals. And an incident being investigated that occurred in Letterkenny, Niall.
Yes, this occurred last night at Upper Main Street, Letterkenny, between 9:05 p.m. and 9:10 p.m. when...
Sorry, was it Sunday night?
Oh, sorry, my apologies. Sunday night, the 20th of April, yeah. When a disturbance occurred at the side of a licensed premises at the location. I can't name the licensed premises for obvious reasons, but a man sustained serious injuries as a result and he was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive treatment. He still remains in hospital and we appeal to anybody who may have been on the Upper Main Street in Letterkenny or may have witnessed this specific occurrence on Sunday the 20th of April between 9:05 p.m. and 9:10 p.m. Like, the street would have been pretty busy at that time, so if people could maybe rack their brains and see if they remember if they seen or heard anything, please contact my colleagues in Letterkenny on 074-9167-100. And again, maybe dash cams have always proven useful to us if anybody's on the main street around that time in the evening. Again, it would have been busy. You're welcome to contact us directly, the investigating member in Letterkenny, or indeed the confidential telephone line. You can leave a message on 1-800-666-111.
Yeah, and we're leading off with quite a number of assaults, unfortunately, and we're going to Ballybuffet next.
Yeah, there's a few assaults this week that we need help with. Unfortunately, this one occurred on Lower Main Street, Ballybuffet, in an alleyway down the side of the old cinema building leading to St Vincent's Close. This occurred last Wednesday, the 16th of April, approximately at 6:30 p.m. Between 6:30 and 7 p.m. A young female in her teens reported that she was assaulted by a male teenager at that location between those times. She suffered injuries as a result, none of which are believed to be life-threatening. And also then further to that, a male teenager reported that he was assaulted by a group of teenagers who were all female at that location between those times. And again, his injuries are not believed to be life-threatening in nature. So if anyone can saw that occurring in Balbafay down that laneway, the Gardaí and Letterkenny are the district headquarters for Balbafay, and they are open 24 hours a day, and they can be contacted again on 074-9167-100. Again, dash cams, things like that, or if you've seen or heard anything, please make contact. And again, the confidential telephone line is 1-800-666-111.
Yep, and it sounds, reading between the lines, that witnesses would be very important to a satisfactory resolution of that incident, stroke instances. To Buncrana next, another assault.
Another assault that occurred in Buncrana on the Causeway Road on Tuesday the 15th of April past, shortly before 7 p.m. So a lot of these assaults, Greg, have happened sort of during daytime hours, you know, so that's kind of worrying, I suppose, because we're used to making appeals maybe when
2 or 3 o'clock in the morning or
yeah,
something.
People are under the influence or whatever, you know. But so unfortunately, these few appeals today are all happening in the evening time. So this occurred at Causeway Road, Buncrana, on Tuesday the 15th of April, shortly before 7 p.m. A man is believed to have been assaulted at location and he required medical treatment as a result of the incident. His injuries are not life-threatening. The guard, I don't have anything more on that, Greg, but it's the guards of Buncrana looking after that. And if you could contact them on 074-9320-540.
Yeah, and they say a picture paints a thousand words, and lots of people have dash comms, and that's why they're an ever present now in Garda appeals, not just here in the county, but right across the world now at this point, because they can, as I say, really assist in investigations.
Yeah.
And lastly, in terms of the assaults, to Garda Hawke at the end of March.
Yes, Garda Hawke on Monday the 31st of March, again in the evening time, approximately between 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. when there was an altercation within a licensed premises. Several people reported injuries to the guards. None of them are life-threatening in nature, but were eager to speak with anyone who was in that particular licensed premises. They'll know what I'm talking about. Please make contact with my district headquarters in Milford, which is 074-915-3060.
Just in your own perspective, does it just so happen that we have a block of these types of appeals, or is there a sense that of a shift in trends, you know, in terms of, you know, daytime, early evening assaults?
No, I think it's just connected because we've had such a long bank holiday weekend,
yeah,
and people are out of their normal comfort zone. They're doing different things and maybe and more socialising over the weekend, Greg. So
okay,
that's probably it.
You don't want to hear of any of them, but
yeah,
that's a better explanation than what it could be. Let's talk criminal damage now in Lifford.
Yes, the rear windscreen of a car was smashed at the Diamond in Lifford on Wednesday the 16th of April between 1 p.m. and 1:05 p.m. Again, another one that occurred sort of during the afternoon when the Diamond would have been busy. So the guards in Letterkenny are the district headquarters for Lifford, so please contact them on 074-9167-100. That's last Wednesday around lunchtime, Greg. A rear windscreen of a car was smashed.
All right, appeal for witnesses now in relation to a driving incident just a couple of days ago.
Yes, my colleagues in the road policing unit were alerted to an allegation of very dangerous driving by a member of the public last Sunday, the 20th of April. The incident involved a white Toyota RAV4 Jeep on the dual carriageway shortly after 9 p.m. The Jeep travelled on up Lurgie Brack and onwards towards Donegal Town, where it was stopped and the driver was arrested. We've had reports of this vehicle. Apparently it was, you know, it seems a bit random, but if you saw, you know, this happened last Sunday, but you would remember because this Jeep was all over the road, Greg. It was very dangerous, I think. So my colleagues would like to speak to anybody that maybe could help them piece the movements of this vehicle together. A white Toyota RAV4. And this occurred between 9 p.m. and 9:30 p.m. between Letterkenny and Donegal Town.
All right, okay. 9167100, the Garda confidential line, any Garda station really, but that's the where the investigation has been led out from. Right, now, Bunkrana Community Policing Units. These are relatively popular because the funny thing, not the funny thing is the reality is the Garda get a lot of stuff. You know, stop cars randomly at checkpoints, you know, maybe chase up some criminality and find a shed. And a lot of stuff is recovered, be it a baler or a bike, and it's getting it back to its rightful owner.
Yeah.
And this is why I think, for one of the main reasons why this is an important thing for people to get involved in. It's a property marketing event, effectively.
Yeah. One of the ones that sticks out to me, Greg, is trailers.
Yeah.
You know, we recover a lot of trailers every year, and unfortunately, a lot of them aren't returned to the owners because trailers, by their very nature, are mobile, and they may have been stolen from anywhere in the country and maybe sold on or whatever to Donegal, and we then recover them, and we have several that we're not able to return. So this is an opportunity for people to attend at Ellie's Community Centre in Bunkrana to get their tools and bikes, etc., marked with your air code. We have a little sort of what they call a dot matrix machine, which uses sort of this carbon fibre tip to inject little dots onto the surface of metals and plastics and stuff. And it, really what we do, we put on their air code, and we put it in a very... we can put it in an obscure place so that only you would know where it is. And, you know, because when we find something, we do take a good look, top, bottom, you know, inside out to see if we can find a market. And it has, we've had proven results in the past. And also, I suppose it may render an item unattractive to someone to steal if it is property mark stamped, you know. So it's a good thing to attend. You're welcome to come. The community engagement van will be at Ellie's Community Centre as well. Please feel free also to bring along any maybe forms, gun licenses, passports, stuff like that you might need stamped. The guards will be there between 12 p.m. and 2 p.m. on Tuesday the 22nd of April.
Great stuff. Okay, now, obviously we're just off the back of the long weekend, and there was quite an extensive enforcement operation. What details do we have?
Well, I suppose, Greg, the first message is that we've had no fatal road traffic collisions over the Donegal Easter Bank holiday weekend, which is always a bonus. We've had plenty of road traffic collisions, but no fatalities, thank God. I know there have been a number around the country, so but we're at this part of the our own division, thank goodness. So my colleagues in the whole organisation were involved in this bank holiday weekend operation, not just the Rose Police Unit, but all members of the Gardaí between 7 a.m. and on Thursday the 17th, and it concluded at 7 a.m. this morning. Unfortunately, Greg, what we saw was there was 6 drink driving arrests in that short period of time and 10 drug driving arrests. So that was 16 people over the limit. And again, concerning the amount of drug driving arrests are increasing exponentially. So there was obviously other detections within that for all sorts of offences, seat belts, speeding, no tax, no insurance, driving license, bald tyres, dangerous driving, and there were several other arrests, and a few vehicles were seized also. So the main aim of, I suppose, the guardsmen out and about and to have these campaigns is the protection of vulnerable road users, and, you know, protecting people sometimes from themselves as well. So the fundamental reason is the reduction of fatal and serious collisions through high visibility road policing. So we continue to appeal to all drivers to slow down, drive with care, and never drive under the influence of alcohol or drugs.
Yeah, and it is a little bit frustrating, and I know it is societally, but certainly with Angada Síochána, despite the best efforts, the drink and drug driving message is not getting through, because you can't be everywhere, right? 16 detections. What does that mean in terms of the amount of people that are taking that risk and risking other people's lives in the process?
Well, Greg, it's a reflection of society as well, because, you know, it's not just a danger on the road. Like, a lot of these people are turning up for work now today, and they may still be under the influence of drugs or alcohol, and then we're seeing it then. Maybe it being an association too with the increase in assaults we've seen at the weekend. Some of these drugs lead to very high levels of aggression, Greg.
And we all have an interest in protecting Society. Okay, listen, hopefully the message eventually will get through. We would hope it's sort of, you know, people's attitudes and not just luck. That means we didn't lose anybody over the weekend. But we'll take it one way or another.
Well, we'll take it, Greg. You will take the results this weekend, yeah.
For sure. All right, Garda Niall Maguire, thanks very much for calling in. I really do appreciate it. That was Community Garda information for this Tuesday, the 22nd of April, and it'll be back here on the 9 till noon show after the 10 o'clock news next week. 086 60 25000 is the WhatsApp and text number, or give us a call on 074 91 25000. Eileen Sweeney is the choir mistress at St Mary's Chapel for over 30 years and joins me now. Eileen, thanks for chatting to me today. I'm not going to ask you how you are. I hope you're fine, but obviously, you know, this is a big emotional strain on lots of people, and you've got so many memories of St Mary's Chapel.
That's right, Greg. Good morning. We're all in shock here. You know, there's a cloud over the whole area. Disbelief, sadness, heartbreak. Yesterday, I went to the shop, and you know, I met some of the choir members, and I met just, you know, people from the congregation. Everybody was in shock. People were crying openly outside of the supermarket. It's just, it's unbelievable. I mean, St Mary's Church is part of who we are here in, you know, in the parish of Guido. We go there for Mass. We went there for Mass. You know, you'd go there to say a quiet prayer. And we had, you know, all of our family occasions there, baptisms, communions, weddings and funerals. And it means so much. Everybody in the parish, they have some connection to the church. There's so many different fond memories I have, you know, of musical, you know, stuff that happened, music, mass.
Fine. Okay, take a breath there, because we have time, I just wanted to observe something too about St Mary's. Obviously, you know, chapels, churches, any place of prayer is a hub for the community. But I think I'm getting the impression that St Mary's Chapel really particularly was that. You know, lots of people, you know, strong attendances all the time, and it really was the heart beating in the chest of the community.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it was, you know, it was really noticeable the last week, you know, being Holy Week. You know, we started there on Thursday with the Holy Thursday Mass, and just the attendance, and there's so many people, you know, you can see all the new faces, not new faces, but people that are living away from home, and they come home and they just love coming to attend all the services over Holy Week. And by Easter Sunday, then the church was packed to the rafters on Easter Sunday. It was such a joyous occasion. Everybody was smiling. Children were there with their, you know, their Easter eggs and their Easter bunnies. It was just, it was such a beautiful occasion. And we had a lovely musical. The music was lovely on the day. Everything, you know, came together beautifully. And then after the Mass, the band outside. And it was such a celebration. Mm-hmm. And then the devastation the following morning was just, you know,
it's how devastating this fire was. Obviously, you know, we've been focusing on the images of the outside of the building, but I mean, as someone who's been so strongly involved with the choir, a key part of that is the organ. It's lost the altar, the marble. It's astonishing how destructive fire can be.
Yeah, that was one of the first questions I asked. You know, I met, you know, some of the choir, you know, the choir services, and I said, well, what about the organ? And they looked at me in disbelief, and they said, Eileen, you have to understand, there's nothing left inside.
Yeah.
You know, I thought, oh, well, there'll be remains of the seats of, no, but nothing, everything was just... It's just such a huge fire.
And that
organ, actually, you know, you speak of the organ. It was Enya, actually, that donated that organ to the church about 15 years ago, I think. I'm putting it, around about 12, 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. But we had a concert there. It was part of the Errigal Arts Festival. I'm going to say 2005, I think. Mm-hmm. It was July 2005, the Errigal Arts, and it was in honour of Baba and Leo Brennan. So the choir came together with the Brennan family, and we had a beautiful concert there that summer. And it was just, again, it was, you know, it was a packed, it was absolutely packed, and people came from all around. It was sold out, but it was a really a beautiful affair. It was really, it was something, and you know, these memories, they'll keep us going.
Yeah.
And also going back again, actually, probably when I started conducting the choir in Derrybeg, it was late 90s, and maybe 96, 97, but RTE came for the Easter services, and the two masses, the Easter Vigil and the Easter Sunday Mass, went out live on RTE television. So you can imagine the preparation, and just, we have such fond memories of that, those two occasions, because I think we were literally nearly living in the church for the 4 or 5 weeks, you know, leading up to that weekend. But yeah, there's beautiful memories from those, you know, and we had two beautiful masses gone out live that time, and it was something.
And it seems so many people have so many memories to cherish. And as I mentioned earlier on, whilst there's shock and devastation, I can already see the green shoots of hope and what is to come into the future, Eileen.
Absolutely.
But of course,
Yeah, and I know, you know, at the moment we're very down, we're just beaten, but I know that from this something amazing and something beautiful will rise, and we have Father Brian at the helm, with help from Father Brendan and Father Sean, and you know what will grow from this, and I think it'll really bring our community even closer. I'm closer together again. It was to be seen last night, the support. There was a mass in Nuckfala last night, and just to see the people, everybody came out, and it was fantastic. And that's just the beginning. And I know, you know, we'll grow stronger and better from this, and our community will rally around the church, and it'll be an amazing growth when it starts.
Yeah. Exactly, and we're starting to see that now, and in the immediate aftermath and during the fire, one could never imagine being able to look to the future, but already, and I think it's under Father Breen's leadership and community leaders like yourself, if you don't mind me putting that on you, that will deliver that hope. Thank you so much for sharing. What a lovely memories, and they can't be taken from us, can they, Eileen? 2005,
no,
what an amazing experience having RTE there. And the fact, I think, that the space was so packed with joy, and as you mentioned, you know, with Easter and the kids and the community, it is nice to be able to reflect on those things. Take care of yourself. Eamon McBride's a businessman and parishioner in Derrybeg, and really has been there from the get-go with St. Mary's. Eamon, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you, yeah, Greg, yeah.
And I suppose we're going to be... sorry, go ahead, Eamon, please, speak. I'm sorry.
Yeah, well, I drove past the church there this morning, and there's a sense of disbelief that the charred remains and the skeletal timber remains of the church are there, and this... obviously, church edifice is standing there, and the wind and the elements blowing through it's a shock, really, and it's hard to come to terms with it. I was there the day it was opened, on 15th of August, 1972, as a young teenager, a big day, and Paddy Carr, who was also born in Gweedore, was the architect who designed it. Designed in a very futuristic manner at the time, not like the normal churches we had before. And, you know, an octagon-shaped building with triangular built brick and timber tentacles rising to an apex at the very top, with beautiful coloured glass shaping up to the very spot at the top. Any time I attended there, my eyes were always drawn to the very apex in the ceiling. I was there even on Thursday or Friday at a funeral, and I can hardly believe that within 72 hours the building would no longer be capable of holding this congregation. So it's a shock to all.
It's remarkable that you have the memory of it opening, and I presume in advance of it, it taking its shape as well, and now here we are. It was built there, was it, following an incident or flooding at another church, or do you just recall a flood at the
other church? That was I was there actually the day that a certain priest was ordained, and I think it was Father Gallagher, and there was a the old church was capable of holding, I think, up to 1,000 people, because there was no church in Brunelac at the time, or Meanwheel, I think. So obviously there was large galleries there. So I think there was a movement or something like that, structural defect there somewhere. And it was then guided that and better proposed that a new church would be built. That Father McGettigan and Canon Boyle were in situ in Guidor at the time, and the clerics at the time, and they obviously got an architect, and then they started a fundraising. I still remember the envelopes being filled with 10 shillings every Sunday by my mother and plenty of other households to start the fundraising. I think it started in 66. It went on for a long time. And eventually we got a church. I think there was still maybe a bit of money outstanding at the end, and the debt had to be cleared, but it was done, and it was the pride of obviously parishioners. We have faced adversity before in Guidor, and at the old church, when there was a flood in 1880, 5 people drowned in it when the church was built on top of a stream there, a river, the Cahin River, and logs and bits of timber and stuff blocked underneath, and the water rose, and unfortunately it rose, and it kept doors closed, and there was 5 people lost. So it's not our first time to be challenged with our church. So the people of Guidor are very resilient. They're a strong people, and they will, I have no doubt, they will gather around and take it upon themselves to rebuild and help Antahar Brian O'Farrey. Sheeple Ní Mura, as it is called locally here, will be either rebuilt in its former fashion, or whatever they decide to do, the committee or the clerics decide to do, I'm sure a fundraising will start. In the meantime, they have the logistical issues regarding ongoing morning masses and evening masses and baptismals and funerals.
But there are other churches in the parish, aren't there? I think 4 other churches are there.
There is Cruc Falla, which is probably 60 years old at the minute, and people used to come that far to Derrybeg on bicycles, and they used to call them the Foreland Dynamos, going early to mass, because they had dynamos on their car, on their bikes, going for early 8 o'clock mass or half 8 mass, coming all the way there. And then there's one in Dunluí, one in Brunelac, and one in Meanwheel. And perhaps, and this is not, I'm just thinking out loud, the school is closed, nearby school in Derrybeg is closed at the minute, but the church obviously has a vested interest in the school. Mm-hmm. So whether or not that will provide temporary sanctuary for masses, that's up to the clerics to decide that. But I'm sure there will be, because I have, my office is not far from the church here. I can see the spire and the burnt out part of the roof, and you know, people are always walking past the office to go to church, so that focal point, the easy walk, is not there at the minute. So obviously that's something that has to be planned to cater for.
Obviously, not for a second to speculate, how important is it to the community, or maybe even speaking as an individual yourself, to get over the line of the cause of the blaze? Was it accidental, or was there some other cause from it? Is that important to the community or to yourself at this time?
Well, it's early days yet with that, so obviously there's forensic expert. The area is cordoned off, so it's not for me to comment on that, but obviously that will come in time, what the cause was. And obviously, there will obviously be, if the church is rebuilt in its former entity shape, there'll obviously be, you know, different things, and whether they be fire alarms or cautions or videos or whatever has to be done with all modern buildings that are such where there's insurance involved. Like there are insurance companies that are now making sure that there are measures taken, you know, to make sure that, that the property, the asset is protected. And that is obviously something that has to be looked at in the future with all public buildings, I think, more so. Because they tend to be open, churches tend to be open to the public, not that I'm saying or saying anything, but there's obviously the road ahead is obviously going to be a lot more stringent when it comes to opening times and closing times.
Yeah, and unfortunately, not suggesting anything untoward in this regard, we have been covering quite a lot lately of, you know, thefts and damages to places of worship, graveyards. I don't know what's going on or how we found ourselves in that situation, but certainly they don't seem to have the respect they deserve for amongst some people, is the situation. And it's very sad because those are the places that you should be able to go whenever you need to go. Eamon McBride.
That's exactly right.
Yeah, thank you so much for your time. I do appreciate it. And I appreciate your insight and your historical reflections as well. Thank you very much indeed. Josie Malloy is owner of the shop and post office across the road from the church and was listening to Eamon there. Josie, I know you're very busy and my apologies for holding, but taking us back to the early hours of yesterday morning, you happened to be awake. How did you become fully aware of the extent of what was happening?
Yeah, well, morning, Greg. Yeah, I happened to be sitting and watching a film. I was actually waiting on my daughter possibly to come home. They were all out. There was a big night in Dodge, and you know the place was pretty busy, the parish. And I happened to be sitting, and my wife was there also. And she said to me she heard a noise and she thought maybe that's a taxi coming up the hill to our house. We were overlooking the chapel on the other side of the hill, and I said no, that doesn't sound like a taxi to me. It was quite a loud kind of a burning noise. I actually thought for a second maybe it was a plane or something coming heading towards Carrickfinn Airport, but I opened the window and looked up towards the chapel and you could see flames dancing at the top of the spire. And it was quite a sight at that stage. So I think that was about 5 minutes to four. I rang the emergency services then because I wasn't aware of you. You didn't know if anybody else had rang or, you know, if they'd been notified. So I rang 999 then. And that was just the fire spread very quickly.
Yeah. And it was clear that nothing could be done, that such was the extent of the blaze.
You knew by looking at that stage that nobody could possibly save it at that stage. You know, it would have actually been very dangerous to be anywhere too close to it. That there was quite a fireball.
Yeah, and that's what people talk about.
I would imagine only if it actually rained, I would imagine, in the couple of days leading up to the trees nearby and possibly other houses might have caught fire also because there were embers flying in the sky everywhere.
Indeed.
It was a sight I don't want to see again anyways.
No, that's what a lot of people are saying, that it's a memory that will stay with them and not a pleasant one.
It was like a scene from a disaster movie. What it was actually like. Yeah, you were actually looking at it in disbelief.
Disbelief.
And the noise that was off it,
It's funny, the senses, isn't it? It's the visuals, but the sound as well and the smell. Those are things we often remember, isn't it?
Yeah, even when we ventured up, me and a friend, shortly afterwards then, you had a fair idea there's nothing you could do with it. The fire engines and the fire service and the guards and all the emergency services were there at that stage. I have the shop and post office just down from the chapel here, and the car park here was full of people and cars, even taxis, people who were out for the night. They were stopping and just standing, looking up in utter disbelief.
Okay. Right, Josie, thanks. I feel like I was there. You paint such a clear picture. Thank you very much for that. That's Josie Malloy, owner of a shop and post office across the road from the church. We're going to be speaking to Monsignor Kevin Gillespie, the diocesan administrator in Raphoe, about the loss of the church in Derrybeg, but also the passing of Pope Francis after this short break. I'm joined on the programme now by Monsignor Kevin Gillespie, diocesan administrator in Raphoe. Good morning, Monsignor. And I suppose, obviously, reflecting first, if that's okay, on the devastating fire at St. Mary's Church in Derrybeg. You will obviously also have a particular interest in this, given the fact that, if I understand correctly, you are a Gwydor man as well.
That's right, Greg, and it's overwhelming in one sense, and I think the more you start to realise the loss of the church, which is not just a building, but all of the memories that one associates with one's own kind of upbringing and childhood and all of the significant events in one's life, you know, you just... I was just reflecting, you know, a building, it's something about the atmosphere of the place and the kind of the light and even the smell and the quiet that kind of impinges upon you and you don't even realize it. And now that the building is gone, you realize that all of those little elements that feed our senses are also gone with the blaze. But with the help of God, the church will rise again. But those particular memories and the particular nature of that building, you know, you kind of, it's only now that you realize things you took for granted mm-hmm. that actually fill your memories and all of your senses.
Yes, and we've heard some amazing testimonials today of people and their memories and the importance of it. But it's quite right, and you were very quick to, in a very sensitive manner yesterday morning, Monsignor, to look to the future and to instill hope, because, you know, as I said a little earlier on today, hopefully in 100 years' time, this will be part of the church's history, but it will re-establish, it will regrow and retain its important role in the local community.
Yes, well, the parish of Gwydor has a great history of great resilience, very much associated also with the history of the faith there and with that particular church, the old St. Mary's down below and the new St. Mary's, which has undergone this terrible misfortune. But I was reflecting that the terrible thing happened on Easter Monday, and that has great significance for us as Irish people because, you know, the themes of death and resurrection mm. are part of our history of the nation, the Easter Rising and so on. And, you know, for us, both by faith and by our sense of nationality, death and resurrection are very much tied together. And I'm very confident, and they have a great man there in Father Brian O'Farrey. And I think it's providential that he's a parish priest. I think he will do great work. The people are very much behind him, always. They have great regard for him. And I think that he will galvanize them. And this will lead, tragedy as it is, it will lead to a great sense of rejuvenation for the parish and for the faith in the parish and for their sense of identity. So although at the moment it's loss mm. and bereavement and so on, this also promises it'll be a challenge, a lot of work, but the people are up for it, they're well able, and they have a good leader in Father Brian, and I'm very confident in the future.
Monsignor, as we were beginning to process that information, we learnt of the passing of our Holy Father, Pope Francis. Not unexpected, but at the same time, one can't fully prepare yourself for that type of news.
That's right. And, you know, I think similar to, you know, I suppose I knew Pope Francis a little bit more closely than many people obviously have the opportunity. So even though you expect somebody, if it's an old relation of your own and you see their health declining, you're preparing yourself for the future. But when it comes, there's always a sense of great loss. And then throughout our own, you know, the Irish community, but throughout the world, it's extraordinary to see the outpouring of real loss and great sentiments of affection towards the person of Pope Francis.
Is it easy at this point for you to articulate what Pope Francis's legacy will be? I believe I've lost Monsignor Kevin Gillespie there, but that will do, I think. Thank you very much, Monsignor Kevin Gillespie. I'll just double check. Are you there, Monsignor?
Darwin. he had a great sense of...
Sorry, Monsignor, sorry, we lost you a little bit. If I could just go back to that question, because I don't want to miss the beginning of it, his legacy.
Yes, can you hear me now?
I can hear you now.
Greg?
Yes, you can.
Yeah, I was just reflecting there that, you know, I think at his heart, Pope Francis was a pastor. And even in his normal kind of religious observance, you know, he's going to be buried up at St. Mary Major's because of the image of Our Lady that's there that had a great meaning for him. And he loved just the simple things of religion, the things that we are all used to, that we take for granted, and that sense of closeness to the people. And I think he took that into his general approach to the process.
Okay, that line has failed on us. Monsignor, thank you very much for that. We did get a strong sense of your view in relation to that. Thank you very much for your time. Greg, it would be good if the media gave as much airtime to the 15,000 Gaza children as they're giving to Pope Francis's death. These children never got to see what this planet is about, other than to meet monsters. Well, we have covered that extensively on this programme right from the very beginning, and have spoke quite strongly in relation to that. But I do take your point. The news is funny at times. I mean, I think... You know, the Pope Francis was the leader of billions of people, and quite rightly so, there's going to be wall-to-wall coverage. But sometimes it doesn't make sense. I do understand that as well. Why isn't there coverage of this issue or that issue? It is the nature of the media. But I suppose the way things are now, that the way things are now, people can gather their own information from different places as well. Back to the Community Garda appeal in relation to the incident of alleged dangerous driving. Horrendous. A Jeep that was all over the road was allowed to travel from Letterkenny to Donegal Town, that being the main artery in and out of Donegal, and also Bank Holiday weekend when Gardaí are out in force, allegedly. I'm not sure of the ins and outs of that or I don't know if they attempted to stop it in between. I don't know. There's probably a little bit more to it than that. Please play the following request for a very special lady, Olive Gregg in Convoy, who's celebrating her 70th birthday today. Lots of love from all your family and enjoy the celebrations. Olive Gregg, two G's. Happy birthday, Olive. Hi, Greg. Happy birthday to you from the Clonmany gang. Thanks very much indeed. I'm sharing it with some great people. Can you wish Paul McBurty, St. Johnston, a happy birthday from wife Roisin, sons Jordan, Leon, Kyron, and daughter Shania? Thank you. Of course, more than happy to. Happy birthday. Right. We're going to take a break because the news at 11 is just on the way.